You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Ice Cold Takes podcast. I'm your host, Joey DiMeglio. The Rangers have played well coming out of the deadline, winning three in a row, including a big victory over the Carolina Hurricanes on Tuesday. That was a shutout, 1-0. All this despite an injury to Jacob Trouba, the captain, and a suspension to Matt Rempe, which we will talk about today with my guest, Matthew Mugno. Welcome back to the show, Matt. How are you?
It's great to be on. I'm great. Sun's shining. We got fall spring right now, and it's the perfect time of the year. Playoffs on the horizon.
Yes, I love this time of the year. No more snow. Everything's starting to get nice outside. Pool's going to open soon. We're cooking with gas here, I think.
Cooking with gas. That's right. Get that grill fired up. I could smell it. A few of the neighbors had it going yesterday. So it's the perfect time of the year. Like right now, I think it's kind of the stick season. We got fall, spring, but things are turning the corner. It's a great time of the year. Like you said, all the sports are virtually at their peak. It's one of those points where there's a crossover. You have March Madness coming up. Of course, playoff hockey. So I'm super excited.
Yep. Baseball starting soon too. I can't wait for that. But I'm dialed in with the Rangers right now. And Matt Rempe has got me feeling like, man, so excited watching the games. That kid is always doing something out there when he steps onto the ice. Maybe he takes it a little too far, which we saw on Tuesday against the, no, Monday, sorry, Monday against the Devils. With the elbow to Siegenthaler of the Devils. But he set that big screen in front prior to that, and that's how the Rangers got the game-winning goal. Gustafsson with the shot from the point got through. Nothing Kakkonen could do. But what do you think about that elbow? Like, obviously, he got suspended for it, so it was illegal, but do you think it should have been four games?
Listen, I think the reality is the national attention that this is receiving is a little bit larger than the player. And I think that if any player was garnering this much media attention, they would likely also receive the same suspension. Now, when you talk about the qualifications of past incidents, I don't think the first hit on Bastion was something that they were taking into account. I think the fighting was a separate thing as well, overall. I think that with the national attention, it warrants the NHL to patrol more. And not only to just make an example of Rempe, but to also state this can't go on any further. You know, this can't be something that, this is a player, every game there's an engagement, right? And it's entertaining. It's a great story. I love it. It's bringing fighting back into the fold and the purpose of it. I think there's been pushback against fans that solely think this should be a song and dance league and sing Kumbaya. But the reality is a chicken wing elbow at 6'8", or 6'7", you know, it just can't fly. So I do think that, you know, if this was a player that was earning more national attention, listen, we know that the Tom Wilson incident, and there was also a lot of conversation and discourse about that online. But the reality is Tom Wilson's playing in Washington, D.C. That's not a market that's has part of the interruption having Matt Rempe as the headline. I tweeted that the other day. I'm in the gym. I look up. Matt Rempe's on the screen. Tom Wilson's not gaining that attention, even though he is a cup ring. So I think at the end of the day, that was a major part of it. And I understand why. But from the New York Rangers side of things, I really like the way LaViolette addressed it. You know, he didn't drop the hammer on his own guy, and I know he's not going to do that publicly, but this is not a player that immediately we're seeing, you know, I don't think we're going to get the update sent down to Hartford. You know, this is a player that I do think has earned his position and has the potential to be a fourth line regular. We saw, like you mentioned, Joey, that goal, the Gustafsson goal. He created that whole play. I'd love to see in the bag of tricks how they can utilize him as net front, what he does in the corners, how he made Justin Falk fear him when he was on the forecheck, and he's becoming a forechecker. So, Joey, overall, I mean, you have to look at all angles and say, all right, you don't have him for a week of great matchups and tough Eastern Conference matchups. but he's proved his value, and you understand why. I understand why the suspension was that long. You just have to take it with, I think, the context of the national view.
Mm-hmm. I definitely think he should have been suspended for that. It was an illegal check. And I hope that this is something that he could learn from. And already, I think this is something that he could learn from, because already, you know, his first few games, he was fighting every single game. And people were starting to say, like, all right, this kid needs to learn when to, he doesn't need to fight every single time. He won't be able to handle that. He won't have a long NHL career if he just does that every single game, if he just continues to fight. Right. So he's got to pick his better spots to fight. And he's done that. It's more noticeable that he is doing that in the next few games since people started talking about that. Now, this is a very exciting player. I agree with you. I love the energy that he brings. He has a, you brought up a bag of tricks. He's got a lot of things in the Batman utility belt there. Like, there's a lot of things that he could, do. He's a really good skater. He's a great body checker. I mean, he's got to, you know, tone it down with that. Those elbows, keep them tucked and stuff like that. But it's a nightmare for the defenders. Like Falk, you brought up, yeah, he turtled when Rempe was bearing down on him. So the Rangers could definitely use him in a playoff setting for sure. He just has to stay disciplined. And offensively too, he's not too shabby. He's got a pretty good shot. I don't know how he didn't score that one goal against St. Louis.
Yeah, you know what? Again, like you said, he has a shot. There's things outside of the physical frame. And listen, the shot, I don't know how that didn't go in either. I thought it was, but it's a play that you love to see generated off the rush. Barkley, Goodrow finds Rempe. And even for Goodrow's sake, I think it would have been nice to see him get the apple there. But the fact that Rempe is able to generate plays off the rush too, for his size, he's not just a 6'8". You know, we've seen this before, almost a decade ago with Dylan McIlrath. They brought him up to respond to the Wayne Simmons, Ryan McDonough broken jaw incident. That was around February 2 in 2016. He came up, fought Simmons, and he played only a few more games as a blue shirt, and he was gone because he had a heavy shot. He wasn't very fast. He didn't play the game in all the facets that's needed at the NHL level. And now he's succeeding with the Hershey Bears. He won the Calder Cup last year with them. So that's still a player that, as a professional, he's a monster, but at that level. For Rempe, he can make the jump to the NHL level if he's able to generate more opportunities like that. And I don't know how it didn't go in, but I think it's good signs of good things to come.
Yeah, ever since he's come up, it just seems like the Rangers as a team are playing a whole lot better. I was listening to the Up in the Blue Seats podcast earlier today, and they were saying that the Rangers have gotten so much more physical since Rempe has been up. Honestly, I think it's since Mackey came up and had that fight. Mm-hmm. The Rangers have been really, really physical. It's good to see. And I think, yeah, you could give a lot of credit to Rempe, like the entire team. I'm looking at Goodrow too. Goodrow is playing a lot better on that fourth line recently. Like, I have less and less of a problem with him every game. I was complaining about him a lot on the show weeks ago. Probably like a couple weeks ago, I was doing it a lot. But since then, he's been pretty solid. And of course, VZ is great as a fourth liner. I like, you can't say enough good things about him. But with Rempe, he just adds a whole nother dimension to the roster. And they've been playing really well since the trade deadline. So we'll go through the games here. So the Blues, that might have been the Rangers' most complete game of the season. I don't know. I can't remember another one. But the Devils won too. That one was pretty solid. But I think the Blues won. Out of these three games that the Rangers just played since the deadline, that game against the Blues really was telling. What did you think of that?
Yeah, I thought that Blues game was their most complete effort. And I loved what Valiquette said the other night. These things with Igor's play, which I'm sure we'll talk about, but overall as a team, there's this, we always talk about trickle-down effect. There's almost a trickle-up effect. The additions of Rossovic, the checking line of Wennberg, Cooley, and Kakko, the goaltending, net out, Igor Shesterkin, the play of the defense overall. Those things are all helping players that have struggled a little bit over the course of the season. Zach Jones stepping up with Jacob Trouba out. He's also stepped up and played really well. That Blues game was their best performance of the season. It started net out. Shesterkin made things real easy. They made the game look easy, that victory look easy. And they carried that moving forward. You come off of the trade deadline where we know they swung for Guentzel, did not receive a player of that caliber, but they received players that can plug in and help the team support. And I don't think the team needed to add another player to its core. We know, and there's belief in the core group. Chris Drury mentioned that on his conference call with members of the media. And not only that, but his faith in Kaapo Kakko. You're seeing how that line is really coming together with Will Cooley, who's been virtually the staple on that line all year. Love the way they played against St. Louis. And against New Jersey, as you mentioned, with the physical aspect, even with Rempe ejected from the game and without Jacob Trouba, there's an elevated sense that guys like Lindgren, Goodrow, VC can take more liberties playing heavier, playing a more checking role. And I really like that as well. It's really opened things up knowing that they have a player, at least before the suspension, and after that for the fact that they can rely on to do a lot of those things, and it will allow them to elevate their game in that direction as well. I've really enjoyed that last season. You brought up how you were at two of the playoff games last year against New Jersey. I thought something they struggled with, Joey, was that when Ryan Reeves was no longer on the roster, they did have a physical edge, but they didn't have players as New Jersey does that could really be pests. And I'm not saying a Jimmy Vesey will turn into that or change his game, but he can lean into that a little bit more. He can lean into physical play a little bit more. And he's also a guy that has skill. So their depth now can play a little more physical, has the skill. And I think we've seen that in the last couple of games. And I'm sure we're going to talk about and transition into that Carolina game as well, which was extremely impressive.
Yeah, I have to talk about the third line, though. For the longest time, I've been saying, since we've talked about trade deadline coverage, who the Rangers might acquire, who they will get, who they'll go after, that third line center that they needed to replace Hedl needed to move the needle for me. Like, you can't have a third line that can't score in the playoffs, because your top two lines, everybody, your opponents are going to be looking to cancel those guys out, to shut them down. So you're going to need some sort of offense coming somewhere else. And I think the third line, they haven't scored an even strength goal, but man, they've been very impressive at generating chances. The other night against the Devils, they had this one shift. I tweeted it out during that Carolina game, but they had this one shift where they just getting chances after chances, like Kakko finding the open man, using the open ice. Like he was in the corner and he took a sharp angle shot on goal on Kakkonen. And then he picked the puck back up and it looked like he was going to go behind the net. Instead, he cut out in front. He lost control of it. But if he held on to that, he probably could have stuffed it into the far side with the backhand. Like that shift between those three players, Wennberg, Cooley, and Kakko, like that, those guys really moved the needle for me. And I think this is very important for the Rangers, and they could rely on them defensively. So it takes away responsibility from Zibanejad so that he could focus on his offense a little bit more, which has been something he struggled with this season.
Yeah, and I think the Wennberg addition, Colin Stevenson said this to me, he said the Wennberg addition is going to help Zibanejad in the locker room. There's now more of a Swedish contingent there. Not only that, Roslovic on his wing, there's going to be a player now consistently playing with Chris Kreider and Mika Zibanejad. That's only going to help them. Chemistry is everything to these professional skaters. No matter what level of hockey you're playing, chemistry is important. Consistency is important. When you have a rotating door to your right, it's very difficult to keep adjusting to. Granted, these are professionals that in the top league in the world, but that's a reality. And especially when the ice gets smaller in the playoffs, you need to know tendencies quick. Mm-hmm. A second, 2 seconds, you're getting the puck off your stick. You want to know, how fast is the guy with me? You know, there's a difference between a player like Barclay Goodrow and Will Cooley on your wing and Jack Roslovic. Great pickup. Now, I want to touch on that third line too. As you mentioned, not to beat a dead horse with it, but the fact they're going to be able to not only utilize that group and that unit as an in-zone possession-generating line, but also a shutdown line is going to be crucial in the postseason. As we're seeing, teams like the Islanders, Lightning, and Red Wings are the likely teams they'll play, unless a team goes on like an 8-game win streak and gets back into the conversation, it seems like those are the likely opponents. Mm-hmm. So with that, they're going to need shutdown lines that can also generate in the offensive zone in zone.
Yeah, and they're doing really well right now. Defense, again, you mentioned Zach Jones before. He's playing really, really well. It's that Miller-Schneider pair, too, has been great. I don't even know what they're going to do when Trouba is ready to come back. Like, do they split them up? Do they keep them together? But in that Carolina game, defensively, I was really, really impressed by how the Rangers handled them. Because you know Carolina is a good team. You know their style of play. It's all about the forecheck. And, that's how they create their offense. They generate chances. There's so many times where they had so much pressure and they couldn't get out of the zone. But then the Rangers started to make some good plays towards the end of the third period. And I thought the end of the third period for the Rangers, like last maybe 5 minutes, eight to 10 minutes of that third period, I thought the Rangers won that game based on how well they were making defensive plays, like clearing the puck out. They were really strong on the boards too. What did you think of that?
Yeah, I think overall it's net out in a game like that against Carolina. And the difference between the New York Rangers and the Carolina Hurricanes is goaltending. Kochetkov looks extremely promising. In the last NHL poll for Calder votes, I was shocked to see he's still considered a rookie, but he was, I believe, fourth or fifth. They really like what they have in that goaltender. With that stated, Igor Shesterkin is elite, and he's looking elite again. He's a player that changed the game. I mean, there were a few opportunities that if he's not there, you know, the team could have been down 2-1, maybe 3-1. Now, in turn, the difference between this game, and there was a game like this in 2022 where Chris Kreider scored the lone goal on, I believe it was, maybe 10 or less shots. And the Rangers won 1-0 despite the Hurricanes having 50 shots on goal. I know you remember this one.
Yeah, this is the Georgiev performance, I think.
Yes. And the difference in that game was the Rangers were not generating the other way. It was a lot more shifts like we saw at the end of the game where they were hemmed in their own zone. The Rangers were playing defensively, and there were moments where they were stuck in their own zone, playing a little bit of a track meet. They were also generating on mm-hmm. offense. I mean, there were a few opportunities from Trocheck on a breakaway, Roslovic on a breakaway, where they were bringing it the other way. They were turning the heat, getting up ice quickly, and responding. That's what I enjoyed the most out of the performance, and that's what I think the takeaway is. You compare these two teams, and granted, you could get into the real thick of things. You could keep it really shallow. No matter how you look at that, if you're looking at two games the Rangers' core has performed in the last few seasons, they are very similar. The difference, they were able to generate offense the other way. And that's what impressed me the most about
them. Yeah, they were able to push back on the Hurricanes when you know they're gonna be pressing for offense. And that was great. Like even though the shots coming from Carolina, like they had more chances, I still felt confident in the Rangers. I didn't think that they would win 1-0. I felt it would have to be like a 2-1 or a 3-2 game. Definitely thought it would be low scoring, which it was, only one goal, but very surprised that it was the Rangers didn't let up a single goal. And Gensel seemed to be like a non-factor. Probably mm-hmm. the Rangers were lucky to have that game just be Gensel's first game off of injured reserve and his first game with Carolina because he's still getting adjusted. I don't know how that game would be if Gensel was like fully healthy, maybe like 2-3 games into his tenure. Might have been a little bit different, but a lot to like from that game against the Hurricanes. And I want to bring in the ice cold take segment here. Val Laquette was talking on the post game. This is a quote from, I found it on Twitter from Phil Kocher. I didn't watch the post game, so he brought it up. So he said the Rangers were ready to play because they practiced so hard and pushed themselves so precisely. They have a tendency to not give in. It's a confidence that you gain from practice. And the pace of Rangers practice this year versus last, you don't give up because you feel like you deserve it more. They're looking at the other group like, you guys are going to break before we are. Make no mistake. That is some staff right now behind that bench. So, yeah, I have to give a lot of credit to Laviolette and Michael Pekka and Dan Muse and the rest of the coaching staff for preparing the Rangers, because conditioning and cardio goes a long way in these games. I love that mindset of you're going to break before we are. It's like Rocky. I don't know. I love that.
No, I think that's something that's been different this year. And I was not covering the team when they were under Gerard Gallant. But from everything I hear, they were looking for more structure. And part of the conditioning is, you see how Carolina, they consider themselves a well-conditioned team in the NHL, best conditioned team. And the reality is, you see the result. It's like a wave of offense going the other way. You're going to break before we do. And I love that as well. And I think Valquet, the last month or two since January, is really, I actually think it dates back to when they lost in game seven in 2023, in that postseason. He's not been afraid to hold back and bring some emotion into those and some vigor into his statements in the postgame shows. And I really enjoy that as well. I know that was a poll quote, but I thought when he had stated that following the game in Carolina, it rings true. They're practicing harder. And I think the way they're playing the game, and even in a game like that, there were points where they were surviving on shifts, but there, again, were points where they were turning the other way and they were doing the same exact thing to Carolina that we've seen Carolina do the last number of years to New York. So I love that take. And again, I think Valley, he always seems to be dead out accurate on anything he says in the postgame show.
Mm-hmm. And I want to revisit your Lafreniere take from when I had you on the show the first time. You said that Lafreniere, this is the what we're seeing from him this season, though at the time he wasn't putting up the points just yet, but he was playing really, really well, that this was the Lafreniere, the World Juniors Lafreniere that we've been dying to see. I think you nailed it with that, because he's up the point totals. He's playing even better, even better. I watched like a segment from NHL Network. It was Brian Boyle and Corey Schneider. We're looking at his zone entries from this year compared to last year. He's so much more confident with the puck, and he's able to like set up so much more like offensively. And to be on Panarin's line when we know Panarin struggles in the playoffs, I think that's going to be very, very helpful. Like, would you feel comfortable? Like, let's say the opponents take too much time and space away from Panarin, like in the playoffs. If Panarin defers to Lafreniere, would you feel comfortable with that, where Lafreniere is now the guy in charge and distributing the puck?
Well, yeah, I think what's actually elevated Panarin's play is that Lafreniere is not afraid to carry it through the neutral zone. He's a player now that's delivering by carrying the puck from the defensive end through the neutral zone over the blue line. With that, I thought Vincent Trocheck, their center, did a phenomenal job driving play. On a line with Panarin and Lafreniere against Carolina, Trocheck was driving play. It's the fact that that unit, that trio, either one of them can be the puck distributor. All three of them can distribute the puck. Yeah. All three of them can carry the puck with aplomb. I mean, we've seen all season they're able to generate off the rush, and it's not one guy. So I do think that in those games where, like I said before, when the ice shrinks, if Artemi Panarin finds himself struggling a little bit, it's good because he can now find those soft spots in defenses off the rush in zone where players like Lafreniere and Trocheck can find him. In fact, we talked about that Lafreniere take from a few months back. It's almost a shame because for how true it is, he's tied his career point total at 39 in 30 less games. But with that, we've seen a lot of opportunities on great plays he's made to his line mates for how great Panarin's playing. He's at the his career high in goals, not finish opportunities that look like sure goals, high danger chances. So I do think Lafreniere is actually playing better than his point total suggests. And it's great to see. I mean, I'm not one to be about my personal takes. It's really just assessing what the team's looking like. And again, I think the fact that Lafreniere is able to drive play and he's displaying that in full now, it's only going to help the team, right? He was your former first overall pick. You love to see the growth, and now he's a certified top six player.
Yeah, I think that's dead on there. Certified top six player, not just, you know, we're just putting him there. And I think he's bona fide right wing now. I don't think, like, enough with his natural side is the left wing. It doesn't matter at this point. He's good. He's good there. I remember recently, maybe a couple weeks ago, Laviolette, I think the Rangers might have been losing or something like that, and he tried Kako on the left and Lafreniere on the right, which is a complete role reversal because Kako's a natural right winger and Lafreniere's a natural left winger. And to see that happen, I mean, it's just like, wow, we've come full circle here. I think Lafreniere is bona fide right winger now. You don't even need to consider that left wing was his first position. When you're with Panarin and you're playing as well as Lafreniere has this year, it doesn't matter.
And, you know, it's something to keep an eye on as well is the fact that those two players are now really anchoring that second power play unit that also features new additions, Wennberg and Roslovic. I'd really keep an eye out for that because we know that first power play unit can play better and they'll likely eat up a lot of the minutes. But I've really enjoyed seeing that second unit coming together. I think they've looked really good together in the games we've seen them play so far since the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. I really like that Lafreniere and Kaká are getting more time on that second unit.
Yeah, I like that too. I think they need to make one adjustment there, like maybe swap a player from the first unit with the second unit to balance it out a little bit more. But I do like they have kind of a simple approach to the power play. The only issue is that they're probably not going to get that much ice time. And that's the thing that concerns me just a little bit. They're capable of scoring, though. I like that. You know, Kaká got that nice deflection, and then he sent it in on the power play against St. Louis. I like that a lot. And then a couple times where the Rangers' top unit wasn't that good, and then, you know, if you start with the second unit, it balances out a little bit more. It helps out the first unit. So they could run with that if they decide not to, you know, change a player from the first unit and swap them with somebody on the second unit. But yeah, something to keep an eye on for sure. Last thing I want to talk about. So when Trouba comes back, right, what are the Rangers going to do with the defense?
Yeah, I think they keep it. You know, I think Zach Jones is a player that, listen, I think if he were to be moved in the offseason, he's a player that you root for to be in a larger role. I think players like Nils Lundqvist didn't really seem to work out in New York, especially on a log-jammed right side. You know, again, this starts with the top of the overarching conversation of there was the rebuild and then there was the shift into this win now mode because you had players that were capable of winning now. And I think for Jones, if this was a team that had more openings on the defensive side, you say, well, you know, you keep him around, bridge deal. I think for how hard Jones has worked, I'm not saying he's working to leave town. I would enjoy seeing him grow elsewhere where he has a role. Similarly to Bowen Byram with Colorado. When Cale Makar comes back from injury, Byram's now not on the power play, right? Now his minutes get eaten up by a Norris winning defender. I think at the end of the day, that would be great to see for him. Jonesy was great. In all the dealings I had with him, he was a great guy. And with that, I think they just revert back to what they had. I would like to see maybe some shifts with Miller and Schneider still, because I think they've been playing really well, as you mentioned. And I think it's always good to have those different matchups and pairings. Consistently, I think they stick with the same pairings. But I think to give themselves better looks and new looks, go for trying Miller with Schneider. Go for moving Trouba around the lineup. I think it would just be beneficial to the team in the postseason, if something ever were to happen, you know, an injury, a player is sidelined for a moment, they go to the locker room, they're down the tunnel. Who can you put out there in crunch time? And that's something that makes for, you know, a good coaching staff is you see championship teams, they always have a 1, 2, 3, 4 option. And that's going to be crucial for the postseason.
Yeah. I would like to see Jones stick around with the Rangers. I like how he's played, but if the Rangers decide to move on from him, so be it. I would wish him nothing but the best. I agree with you. I think there's no way you keep Trouba out of the lineup. You have to put the captain back in there, but I would love to see Miller Schneider be like an actual pair, like not just for a couple shifts. Like I think I've seen enough from them. It's only 3 games, I know, but Miller has looked the best he's been all season, in my opinion. So I like that a lot. Maybe you put Trouba with Gustafsson and put Gustafsson back on the left side instead of the right. So
something that happens too is when you give those players more responsibility, they have to take it and they have to own it. And we're seeing with this Rangers team, they are a group of players with integrity. They've been former captains. They've been at the top of their game before in whatever respective league they were in. Braden Schneider is one of those players. He was a top player in the WHL before he stepped up and made the team out of camp. So this is a player that still has a lot of unwritten, you know, to bring to the lineup. Offense, that's something we've seen. He's more of a stay-at-home defender, at least at the NHL level as he's developed. He's still 22. So with that, he's a player that still has more to grow. And we're seeing that with more responsibility, he's taking that challenge and he stepped up into that role and looked flawless. So I agree. It would be really nice to see if they did change up some of the defensive pairings. I think they would utilize it for that. But if it was kept as Miller and Schneider, it would just be more about how do the other pairs fit in here?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, Matt, I know you have to go. Thanks so much for doing this with me. Good talking with you as always. Ice Cold Takes fans, we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Hey, Rangers fans, thank you so much for listening to the Ice Cold Takes podcast this week. Make sure you follow at Ice Cold Takes Pod on Twitter to stay up to date with the latest Rangers info. See you all next week.
Time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay.